done in America with the samurai.
Okay, so tonight we are going to talk a little bit about the halachos of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. I think this is what we were up to. I really don't remember anymore from the last time, but we'll just go from here. There's a lot of details. We are not going to talk about most of them. What we'll try to do is go through some of the basic principles about pikuach nefesh and how it works, what the heterim are, and what's okay and not okay, just general principles. And
what halacha does it align with?
Any halacha, all halachas. Again,
you're choosing it now.
No, no. So the reason why we're mentioning it now is because the last couple shiur we were talking about refuah, medicine on Shabbos. Mm. And some of the parameters of medicine on Shabbos depend on what level of sickness you are. Mm. So clearly, somebody whose life is in danger is way beyond that. But because we're already talking about people that are sick and chol sheyesh bo sakana and chol shein bo sakana, so the next logical step is to figure out what the halachas are for pikuach nefesh. Unfortunately, I forgot to bring my Rabbi Bodner medical handbook. I was going to bring it tonight, and I remembered even half an hour before, and then when I actually put my books together, I completely forgot it, which would have been helpful, but whatever, we'll deal with that. So we'll do some of the principles. We'll do maybe a couple applications that have to do with going to the hospital on Shabbos and perhaps giving birth, and especially as it pertains to in Eretz Yisrael and specifically in our community in Yad Vinyamin. And then any other questions that you have that you can throw out, which I may or may not be able to answer off the top of my head. I have not prepared every single last thing. There's like, you know, 5 or 6 chapters in the Shir Shas Kilchasa that, not that deal with this directly, but that touch on different aspects of Pikuach Nefesh. So I may have read other ones in the past, but I have not gone through every single one this time, which means I may not be able to tell you, you know, right immediately what the answer is to specific questions. But feel free to throw out ideas that come up based on what we learn that relate to practical applications. And hopefully, we will never have to deal with these practical applications, except for going to the hospital for births. God willing, for good things. That's the hope. But it's good to know a little bit about it. Okay, and then next week we're going to we'll have to discuss what to do next week. But we're going to be done with this. Either we'll go on to the next melacha, which is Losh, or maybe we'll take a break and do something on Purim. We'll discuss that at the end. Mm-hmm. All right. So we know first that what's the halacha when it comes to somebody whose life is in danger. We discussed people that are, you know, minorly ill, somebody that's more seriously sick but is not dangerously ill, somebody who was in bed, and all those kind of cases. We talked about a little bit about somebody whose limb was in danger. We didn't deal with that extensively. We talked a little bit about that. The question is, again, what's the halacha when it comes to somebody whose life is in danger? Are you allowed to save their life? Can you take medicine? What can you do? So the answer, of course, we know, is what can you do if you need to in order to save somebody's life? Everything, right? I can't think everybody knows that. If you want to see it inside, so in the Shulchan Aruch, it's in Siman Shin Chaf Chet, Siv Bet. This is where the basic halacha comes up. I'm going to open it up. Again, this is not something that's like a chiddush to anybody, but it's sometimes nice to see the sources inside. So, take a look. Siman Shin Chaf Chet, Siv Bet. Then you can
Is it Bet?
Yeah, Siv Bet. And you can already open up your Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa also if you want to have it already ready for afterwards in Perek Lamed Bet. I think you have it already. Perek Lamed Bet in the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa. Okay.
Somewhere in the middle. You bet.
Mm-hmm. It's bet, not you bet.
You bet?
Not you bet. You bet. Bet. Two.
Okay.
Just bet. Okay. So let's see what it says. This is, by the way, from the Gemara. Found it?
Yeah.
Okay. Mi sheyesh lo choli shel sakana. Somebody who has an illness, choli from the word chola, shel sakana, which we know is danger, mitzvah lechalel alav es haShabbos. There's a mitzvah to desecrate Shabbos for it. V'hazariz harizah meshubach. Okay, you know what that means, right? Like zrizim akdim mitzvos. There's somebody who's zariz, right, who is...
It's a mitzvah?
What?
It's a mitzvah?
No, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to desecrate Shabbos for it. Okay, v'hazariz harizah meshubach. Somebody who's quick to do it fast is praiseworthy, meaning the faster you do it, the better it is. Vashoel harizah shovel tam. You know what that means? Hashoel, meaning somebody who asks a shayla about it. He takes 10 minutes to go to the rabbi and ask him, can I call the ambulance to send that guy over who just had a heart attack to go to the hospital? You know? So what's the halacha? Harizah shovel tam. You are treated as if you are spilling blood because you should not be asking a question. So you can add, well, I wasn't sure, maybe. So the answer is, even if you're not sure, get it done. Okay? You have to do it right away. Even if you don't know, even if you didn't learn the halachas properly, whatever it is, but the bottom line is, if you're in the situation where it comes up, then you have to mechal Shabbos immediately. If it's a matter of time, then you do whatever you have to do right away. You drive them to the hospital, you call the ambulance, There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And that's the bottom line. Okay. So that's the halacha. Now, a couple interesting points about this. First question is, anybody know what this is based on? Meaning, where do we get this idea from? How do you know that you could just be Michal Shabbos to save a life?
Hi, Bayan.
Very good. Excellent. You remember that? Or... Good. You know, it's already ingrained in you, right?
Right.
Okay. Everything okay out there? Okay.
There's also something about... Chal Shabbos.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. Very good. We're on the ball here. Right. So the truth is, the Gemara, we're not going to go inside, but the Gemara in Yoma actually has a bunch of different drushas to derive this point, meaning it wasn't so simple to them that you're allowed to Michal Shabbos in order to save a life. I mean, we know the halacha is clear that you could violate any mitzvah, any avera, in order to save a life, except for the big three. But in the time of the Gemara, and earlier than that in Torah Sheval Peh, it seemed like it wasn't so simple, it wasn't so clear that they all accepted that. And in the Gemara, the Gemara just asks, what is it based on? So again, it could be that they did know what it was. They knew that it was clear, but they wanted to know what the source was. But earlier in that, in Torah history, it seems like maybe it wasn't so clear. Whatever it was, basically they asked what it's based on, and there's a few different answers given in the Gemara. So one of them, the two most famous ones, are those two. One of them is the idea of Chalil. It says that Shomer B'nei Yisrael also Shabbos, that the Jews should keep Shabbos. So the Gemara basically makes an interpretation that it's better. It says Acha Shabbos Society Shmor. You should keep my Shabbos in plural. That's the one. So they say, well, why does it say it in plural? It's to teach you that it's better to violate one Shabbos one time in order to be able to keep Shabbos many times. Meaning, if your life is in danger and it's Shabbos, you should be Bechal Shabbos now, so that next week and the week after that and the week after that you can keep Shabbos. Okay, great. The other drasha, though, is what Moshe said, which is v'chai b'hem. Again, there's a few others, but these are like the two main ones that are most often quoted. V'chai b'hem means that the Torah says that you should live by the mitzvos, and you shouldn't die by the mitzvos, meaning that you shouldn't say, I need to risk my life and die because I didn't want to violate Shabbos. Again, except for the big three, obviously they're different, but aside from that, v'chai b'hem clearly tells you that for any mitzvah, and certainly for Shabbos, that it's better to live by the mitzvos, and you should violate Shabbos in order to be able to could stay alive rather than die for the sake of Shabbos. So that's the one the Gemara accepts. That's the one that's from, I think it's from Shmuel. The Amora, the rest of them are from the Tanaim, but the Gemara says that Shmuel's is the best one. Okay, V'chaylem is the best drasha. That's one that you don't have, there's no questions about, and that's good. So there's some interesting discussions here about the difference between the Limudim, which we're not going to get into so much, but just to get a little bit of a sense that there might be a nachgamina between, let's say, those two types of drashas. You know, if you could think of even one case where would you say that the idea of that you should violate Shabbos once to keep Shabbos again a different time, when might that not apply, and of Chai B'hem might yes apply? Like, what kind of situation could you think of that might be a difference between those two cases?
Well, there's one where the person, even if you violate Shabbos, he probably is not going to live the week. So
excellent. So that's great. So we'll see that in a couple of minutes. That's perfect. Okay, meaning let's say that he's not going to get the next Shabbos. Let's say you know already now he's critically ill, and at best he'll live 2 days. Mm-hmm. Can you still Michal Shabbos for him? So if you say the drasha is based on the idea that you should violate Shabbos once, that he can keep Shabbos many times, maybe you'd argue the answer is no. If he's not going to make it to next week, maybe there'll be a nace, but according to all the doctors, he's on his last, it's clear. They see already all the life signs are shutting down. There's almost nothing left. Maybe not. Maybe you shouldn't do Michal Shabbos. That's number one. According to V'chai B'hem, though, if you say that the point is that you should live for the mitzvot and not die by them, then maybe it shouldn't matter. Okay? That's one important nachkamina, which we'll see a source inside in just a few minutes about that. I'll give you one other one, and then you can think of more, give another interesting one. Let's say that the guy is not firm. Let's say that somebody's life is in danger. He's not firm. Can you violate Shabbos to save his life?
Mm.
So if you say it's based on violating Shabbos once in order to keep Shabbos many times,
doesn't work.
Maybe it doesn't work. Again, maybe yes, maybe he'll become a Baal Tshuva, maybe he'll become from. But according to everything that's happening now, he's in a bad atheist,
right?
Okay? It could be, you're right. You never know. Let's say we told you 100% that he's definitely not keeping Shabbos. Okay, he's in a bad atheist, there's no way. Whatever it is, we know 100%. Maybe according to that, you shouldn't be Bechal Shabbos for him. According to V'chai B'hem, though, of course you would be. It doesn't matter who the person is or what's going on. V'chai B'hem means that you don't die for the mitzvot, so you live for them, even if this person doesn't actually keep the rest of the mitzvot.
After he sees you save him on Shabbos, he's going to...
There you go. Exactly. Okay. Could be. It's definitely
either
possible.
Either of those.
Right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Either way. Very good. You could say either way. Excellent. Again, we pass on V'chai B'hem, which is what the Mishnah Berurah says here. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah on Sifkat on Dalad, the Mishnah Berurah points that out. He says... perish lasos lorafuah, to medication. And you can't do whatever you want for him, but anything which will help his condition to possibly make him better. So that would be permissible. Okay, the reason is because of v'chai b'hem. You live for the mitzvot and you don't die by them. Okay, a couple other points here before we.
Where are we ending? What's the conclusion?
You can be machal shabbos in any situation that you can help. Save a person
even if it's
temporarily.
Not until the end of
things. Yeah, and we'll see the sources inside. But we'll get to that. That's a little bit more complicated for better or for worse. Hold on. Let's see where did I talk about coin here? I'm looking at my notes. We'll get to it. Okay, that's a question. Okay. So in terms of just one or two points here in the Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll go on to the next categories. So what they say about, number one, zarizar is a meshuvah. So we said before, that means that, again, the faster the better it is, okay? The faster you can do it, there's no, you know, hesitating, no saying, well, I wish it weren't Shabbos, well, maybe I should ask a goy. No, anything, if it's time sensitive, and it needs to be done now, you know, again, I think this is also something we know, but just to emphasize the point, you do it right away. Okay, you don't wait, you don't ask Shilas. If it's any suffix at all of either he needs to go to the hospital, or you need to do this, or you need to, you know, some sort of electricity, or, you know, you're not sure if the halach is that it's mutter, but there's no time to ask somebody, and to act right now, then you act. Okay? We'll learn about this maybe later if we have time, but if you do have time, then it's a different story. Okay? I mean, if you have a few hours to play with in order to decide what to do, and then you have time to ask a shiloh to figure out what the best way to do it is, that would be different. Okay? Then it is better to try to minimize the things that you can do on Shabbos. Okay? That's clear from the halach. Again, I don't know if we'll see the sources inside, but the halach is clear that the more that you can minimize chil shiloh, the better it is, but again, not at the expense of potential danger. Okay, only if you know that he has time and you could decide, can you ask a non-Jew, or you could decide, you can go to the Rav and speak to him and find out what the heterim are and what the heterim are not. You know, if you have time for it, then by all means do it. If there's no time to figure it out, then just do whatever you think that you might need to do, and that's it. Okay, that's again very, very general rules. They're not very specific points right now. These are just general ideas. And the idea here we have for a shohar is a shohar dunim, is somebody who asks a question of like shohar dunim. So the Mishnah Berurah adds another point from the Talmud Yerushalmi, which is really interesting. He says, right in the middle of Sifkat on Vav in the Mishnah Berurah, he says the following: "The Yerushalmi Isa," right in the middle of Sifkat on Vav, like halfway down. It was the Yerushalmi. The first part we already explained before, that if you wait and you ask questions, then it's like you're spilling blood because maybe the guy's going to die while you're going to ask the Shiloh. For the next 15 minutes, you could have been doing, you know, life saving procedures, or whatever you needed to do to get him to the hospital or to the ambulance, and you decided to go to the rabbi instead, you know, he died. So that's obviously not okay. But the second part is really interesting. When you're Shami, so Hanishalar is a Maguna. Somebody who is asked the question is also bad. Meaning not only is the person that asked the question problematic, the person who was asked the question, meaning probably the rabbi, is also at fault. Why? Perush, Mishum Sha Talmud Chacham bin Komo, Hayal Josh Pirkala Kol. Because the rabbi of the community should have given a shiur about basically saving life on Shabbos. People should have realized they shouldn't be asking Shabbos. So they should all know that they shouldn't call Shabbos, and they shouldn't be asking. Now again, you could say also he should go a step further and tell him what's okay and what's not okay.
Now we know why he did this.
Right, so I got off my back, right? I got off my back. And then it says also, we'll get to the next one in just a minute. But in terms of the rabbis, again, you can't address every single case, okay? It's obvious, there's so many details, and it makes sense that one would ask a shiloh. But the point of what the rabbi has to say, at the very least, is that you should realize that if there's any question, and there's no time, do whatever you think you might need to do, even if you're not sure it's okay. All right, that's what you need to get across. And everything else after that, if you have time, come ask, we'll discuss it. Again, as I told you, you could read through, if you want to spend the next 3 weeks reading the Shmir Shas Kilchasa, there's so many different applications of things that come up that, you know, that could be helpful and could be relevant. The Bader book also is, you know, 300 pages long. You could spend, you know, a couple weeks reading that book, and maybe it's helpful, but at least if you have it as reference, it's a good idea. And if not, at least you know that, you know, what the rules are. If you have time, go ask. If you don't have time, then do whatever you think you might need to do. And the last line here in the Mishnah Berurah, also very important. The person whose life is in danger says, please don't take me to the hospital now. I can't go. I don't want to go on Shabbos. Okay? I just can't go on an ambulance. I can't go on a car. Whatever it is. You can't do anything to me. So, of course, you know, as we expect, what does it say? What do you do to him? You force him to chal Shabbos, or to take him against his will. And you speak to him. You basically tell him he's being a chassid shote. Okay, he said, tell him basically, I understand that you want. It's great that you want to not be that you don't want to be chal shabbos, but your life is more important. Okay, your life is at stake, and your life is in danger. You may not realize you're in the middle of having a heart attack or a stroke or who knows what. Okay, or a seizure, God forbid, or whatever it might be. You don't realize, but at the end of the day, okay, your life is more important, and we are forcing you to do whatever it means he needs to do. Okay, whatever the situation is. Okay, any questions about these points? Again, they're all very, very basic. But, let's talk about category number two of issues, which again is so general. We're not really getting to very many specifics, but just to get some general points. First question, what kind of cases are included in being in danger? So again, without getting into specific types of examples, in general, how much danger is considered to be danger? Does it have to be a life-threatening situation immediately right now? Or might it also be a case where it might lead to be life-threatening? And it could be if you don't treat it, or even if you do treat it, you know, at some point, it might degenerate into a case which is more dangerous. How many of these types of sakana are considered to be sakana that you could be mechal shabbos for?
Multiple choice question. And there's a longer answer. Multiple choice questions, and there's a longer answer and a shorter answer. Choose the longer answer. B.
Okay. Yeah. You want to keep talking?
Pardon me?
You want to keep talking?
No. You had given two choices. You said, is it like that you're going to die immediately, or is it something that you might lead to life that depicts later on? I'm guessing the second choice.
Ah, okay. That's okay. Okay. Good. So let's take a look here. There's a few sources that talk about it. We're not going to look at all of them. We'll look at one. I guess we'll do the easiest one. It's in the Sefer Shas Kol Chas. That's pretty straightforward. Let's see where he says here. Where is it? I thought I had an easy source here in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chas, but I don't see it right now. I'm sure it's in here somewhere, but I don't remember exactly where. Let's take a look in the Mishnah Berurah. We'll go back to Mishnah Berurah for a minute. Mishnah Berurah says in Sivkazan Yud Zayin. Okay, we're not going to go into all the background here, but if you just look at the line that it says in Sivkazan Yud Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah, if you can find it, the Shmir Shas Kol Chas will have to come back to it. I don't remember offhand where it is. It's here somewhere. I know it's here somewhere, but I don't see it right now. The Shmir Shas Kol Chas just mentioned in Sivkazan Yud Zayin the idea of Sopek Sakanas the Bushes, meaning that he says, maybe right now he's not deathly ill yet, but it might get worse. His life might be in danger if it's not treated. Nami shari. It's also permissible. Meaning, it's permissible to mechal Shabbos even now if there's a chance that afterwards, if it's not treated, it might get to the point where it's in danger. Which again, I think maybe is also pretty clear. There are a bunch of sources that this is based on, which we're not going to go into inside, but there's definitely that idea that the sakana on Shabbos means even what's called suffix sakana. Okay, even if it's a possibility, it's a doubt, we don't know. But maybe it's going to get to that point. So definitely you could be mechal Shabbos for that as well in the same way. Okay, so that's that. What's interesting is, I hear it as I see it now. If you want to look at the Shmir Shas Kol Chas, it's in Halacha Chet in the Shmir Shas Kol Chas.
What section?
Perak Lamed Bet, Sif Halacha Chet. Okay, that's where it is. A few sources that it's based on, you can see here also. He says, Chola Shalafi Da'a Rofe Nishkepet Sakana L'Chaya. Okay, if you have a sick person, well, according to the doctor, it seems like it's expected that there may be danger to his life. Well, Afilu Rak Chashash Sakana. Well, even if it's a possibility, it may be possibly danger. Okay, V'gam Chola She'in Machala L'Zukenet L'Fi Sha'a. And even if, okay, it's right now, it's definitely not dangerous. In the first case, is that maybe it's dangerous now. It's definitely dangerous now. It's maybe dangerous now. And now he says maybe the case where right now it's not dangerous. But maybe it will get dangerous later. You don't give him the proper care and treatment on Shabbos itself. So again, this is all based on sources, which we saw one source inside before in the Mishnah Berurah, but the Shemir Shabbos has a bunch of other sources as well. Halacha is Harayu Bechla Chola Sheish Bo Sakana Shem Chalon Asa Shabbos. That's included in the case of Sakana. Okay, again, there's a lot of interesting details here, which we're not going to go into now. That's an important point. What's interesting is the Chazon Ish, which we're not going to go into in detail, but just don't throw it out there. The Chazon Ish says, what happens if right now he's not sick at all? Right? Meaning maybe tomorrow his life is going to be in danger. Right now he's not sick at all. So the Chazon Ish says, in that case, then that's not included in Sakana. Okay, which is very interesting. Meaning the Sakana that we're talking about has to the condition of Sakana has to exist now. Meaning even if it's not actual danger yet, but whatever condition we're worried is going to get worse, the condition has to start now. But if you're afraid, well, maybe tomorrow he's going to get bitten by, you know, a poisonous snake, so today you have to do something to, you know, whatever. So then that's not included. So that's an interesting point. The question is, how far do you take that? I mean, what does that mean? That's a tricky point, because we say, you know, even if there's like a 1 in 1,000 chance that your life might be in danger, then we're make ill. But the Chazon Ish says that's all only if the danger actually is possible right now. I mean, it's a 1 in 1,000 chance, but it's right now. It's here somewhere. It's here, maybe it's there. You know, we have to figure out what the case would be. But that would be relevant. But if it's not, you know, a danger at all right now, then that's not included. Okay, so the question is, how do you deal with that?
What about a situation where, I don't know, something happens and somebody is shot within 24 hours, right? And it's Shabbos day, right? So it's sort of not immediate sakana, but it doesn't have to be dealt with immediately. You can wait till after Shabbos.
Hey, what's the case?
You have a tetanus shot.
Right? Or other things.
I thought you were talking about a different kind of shot, which is a real situation, is a real issue, you know.
Look at that in the shot, that sort of thing, right?
Not a gunshot.
Not a terrorist shot.
Okay, that's what I thought you were talking about. I wanted to know more what you meant by that, because that's actually a real issue. How do you deal with security on Shabbos?
That's a different issue.
Yeah, it's the same thing, though. I mean, is there a danger right now? I mean, like, right now, let's say there's no terrorist right next to our...
Exactly.
So halacha, for most of those kind of things, we say that there is considered a sakana right now, because...
So even if we wait till after Shabbos, you're saying it's better to get...
I was talking about my gunshots.
What's the gunshot story?
There's no story. I'm just saying, you know, the question is, are you allowed to have security? Where, you know, army and this and that, doing all sorts of things with Chol Shabbos, if right now there's no danger? And the answer is, there is danger right now. You know, the only reason the danger's not there right now is because the soldiers are standing there. And unfortunately now, even when the soldiers are standing there, then there's still danger. You know, they still go out and get the soldiers. You know, every day there's just more stories. It's really scary. This morning there was two things, right? This morning, was there more than one?
I didn't hear,
in Kiryat Arba, there was two things this morning. Car ran over some soldiers, and another one, I think a terrorist shot at one of the soldiers by the Trumpiana. That was only in the morning. I haven't heard since then. I've been disconnected from the internet and from radio since 9 o'clock in the morning. So, but by 9 o'clock, both of those things had happened in Kiryat Arba. So for those things, you have to, you know, every case is sakana. It doesn't matter whether you find terrorists or don't find terrorists. You have to treat everything as sakana. That's very, very clear. In your case, so what's exactly the issue?
A tetanus shot, right?
Okay.
Somebody stepped on a rusty nail, and they need a tetanus shot within 24 hours, or else it could be very dangerous.
Right, so assuming that it's pretty clear that you can go to the hospital right after Shabbos, can you do it from a doctor, or you have to go to the hospital to get it?
I don't know if a doctor would have it with them or not, and if they do, you can.
Right.
But
now you can start with that.
Yeah, but you mean, I don't know how many people have tetanus shots on hand.
Right. You can ask Dr. Ashkenazi. I don't know if she does or not, but she might. So again, if you're pretty sure that you can go after Shabbos, then I would say it's better to wait. If there's any concern at all why maybe you can't go after Shabbos for whatever reason, then probably go now. But again, confirm that with a doctor. I actually did this series of shiurim at some point, like a few years ago. I don't remember who was there. And we basically did a whole series on like some of these kinds of questions, but with very practical cases involved. And Sarah Ashkenazi actually came also. I let her handle most of the questions. So I just stayed in the background and gave some halakhic points, but basically she was able to handle most of the questions. She had some very specific points, which were very, very helpful. I probably still have my notes on it somewhere. It might have been recorded. I don't remember. I have to check online if it was recorded. Anyway, so that's most of those kind of cases. If you can wait till after Shabbos, the rule is that it's better to wait. And that's what the Shmir Shabbos says here somewhere, though I don't remember actually where he says it, but they say somewhere. And we saw it already in the Mishnah, that if the treatment cannot wait till after Shabbos, then you should do it now. But if it can wait, then it's better to wait till after Shabbos. Here, it's in Halacha Chav Gimel, Mishmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Okay, let me take a look here. He says in Halacha Chav Gimel, Kol Dvar Shev Veshil Miniyato, anything that if you don't do it, you don't do it at all. There's an expected danger or possible danger to the sick person. On the other hand, but you don't have to do it on Shabbos. You can wait 24 hours. You can wait till tomorrow. Okay, you can wait till after Shabbos. If it's an Isra Doraisa that's involved, you can't do it. If there's only an Isra Doraban, then you're allowed to do it. Okay, maybe an Isra Doraban, we're already more makil that on Shabbos, even if it can wait, because Chazal were makil. Okay, that's just what Chazal decided to be makil in this situation. He says, if possible, even the Doraban, you should do it with a Shili if possible. Okay. However, he says the next line, again, these are all interesting cases you can derive from here. I skipped along here. But if it's very painful to wait, you can even be Mechal Shabbos with an Isra D'Oraisa. He heter minyat kevim, because the idea of the allowance to prevent pain, it's also included in Pikuach Nefesh. And that he quotes from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Okay, very, very interesting. And maybe Rav Moshe also. Very, very interesting. Again, there are a lot of interesting cases you can develop based on this. They're practical, which we're not going to do right now. But you see a very interesting principle. Okay, again, in general, wait till after Shabbos if you can, at least for D'Oraisa. For Drabbanon, you could do on Shabbos and you do with a Shinui, but if you can wait, maybe better to wait, but you could do it with a Shinui on Shabbos if you need to. And if there's a lot of pain involved, then you can do it on Shabbos even for Midoraisa. Practically, in terms of going to a hospital, what that usually means is that if you have a Jew driving to the hospital, that's an Isra D'Oraisa. Okay, that's always assumed. That we'll have to learn about this at some point whenever we get to it. That driving a car is an Isra D'Oraisa. Okay, that's Mavir. It's causing sparks. That's definitely a Malacha Mina Torah. So anytime you drive to the hospital, it's an Isra D'Oraisa. So the question is, can you drive to the hospital on Shabbos? According to this, the answer is basically it depends. If you need to go, you definitely can go. But if you don't need to go on Shabbos, if you can wait till afterwards, it's better to wait because that involves an Isra D'Oraisa. You ask me, well, can you get a non-Jewish driver? The answer is yes, but it's around in these parts, it's hard to find a non-Jewish driver. Yeah, we did mean. If you're in Yerushalayim or Bnei Brak or other places, they have a Shabbos goy in a lot of these places. And certainly in Chutz La'aretz, they for sure tons of goyim you can ask. Just any taxi you can get. But even in places here, with a lot of large Haredi population, they often have Shabbos goy that you can ask to do this kind of thing. That's what they're there for. But in places that doesn't exist, here it's a little bit harder. And around here also, any cab that you might take, most probably they're Jewish. Even if they're Russian, they're this, they're that, but most of the time they're Jewish. So unless you know for sure that the cab is not Jewish, then it's better to just drive yourself, which we'll have to talk about. I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but that's actually a very, very important question of how to get to the hospital. We'll have to do it with the car afterwards. We'll see if we have time to get to it. okay, great. What else? Okay, so here's an interesting one. Which we'll just mention very briefly. Who is the best person to be Bechal Shabbos? Meaning, if you need to have care or some sort of action taken, who should be doing it? Is it better to get Shomer Shabbos, not Shomer Shabbos, Jewish, not Jewish? Right. So it's an interesting question. There are a lot of details about this also. I'll just give you a couple quick points about it, which again, this can lead to a lot of questions which we're not going to really have time for unless you have specific issues that you want to ask. The basic source that it's based on is in the Gemara. And the Gemara says that it's best to use people that are Gedolei Yisrael and Chachamim, not children, not Goyim, not anybody else. The reason for that is multifold, I guess. If you want to see it inside and to show that it's permissible for everybody has to do it. And if you wait for, they also say, let's say you wait for a Goy, and let's say he doesn't come, so then you messed up. So, and even if you wait for him, and this time it's fine, but the next time they might think, oh, well, you have to wait for a goy, and they won't realize that you can do it also. So there's multiple reasons why this is mentioned. And in the Mishnah Berura, it's mentioned, I guess we just have our Shmir Shabbos, which is the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa. It's in Halacha Vav. He says in Halacha Vav, Kashir Mizdamein Mikresh al Pikuach Nefesh. When you have a case of Pikuach Nefesh, it's like the Chalot HaShabbat, La'atzalat Chayi Hadam. You should not use a goy. Then he says in parentheses, unless the goy is better qualified for the care. But assuming that it's the same, so the Jew is better, The Jew should do it. Eliyahu Yehudi should do it. So that's why he should do it himself, the Jew. And certainly, okay, you shouldn't cause a situation where the person who's doing it is not Shomer Shabbos. Okay? Because if he's not Shomer Shabbos and he's doing it, so he's not really allowed to do Chal Shabbos in general either. Okay? But in this situation, what might happen... what might happen is that he may be Chal Shabbos more than is necessary. Okay, this I think is later Shlomo Zalman understood it, though it's not so clear from the footnotes here, but I think this is how it's usually understood. That there's, according to Shlomo Zalman, it's better to have a frum Jew do it, because a not frum Jew might do something which is worse, meaning he'll end up being Chal Shabbos in 10 ways when you could have done it in 6. Something like that. Like, I mean, if it's not really a value, for you it is a value. I think others disagree, though. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein, I don't remember where, I think Rav Moshe has a tshuva where I think he thought that it's either just as good or not better to avoid doing it yourself, even if it means that a non-firm Jew is doing it. I believe that's what he says. Again, I apologize, I don't remember the source offhand. But I think Rav Moshe was chulik. It could be there's a difference in where they come from, that Rav Shlomo Zalman is talking about in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Moshe was in Chutz Laaretz. Maybe there's differences in terms of how it's looked at. That's not from Jew or where they are. You have to think about that. Again, I think there's more sources about this than where they are. But that's actually an interesting issue. Okay, and by the way, it comes up also in other examples as well. If you're a doctor or a nurse and you can switch with somebody a Shabbos shift who's Jewish, not somebody who's not Jewish. Somebody who's not Jewish, for sure, you can be better to switch if you can. Somebody who's Jewish, but they're not from, is better to switch with them so that you go on Shabbos and they don't go on Shabbos? Or is it better the other way? You should avoid taking a shift on Shabbos. If you can, have them do it instead. I think this is also Machlokes Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, which again may reflect something about where they lived. I believe Rav Shlomo Zalman said that it's better for you to do it because you could be the same thing. You can minimize the Chilul Shabbos on your part, and they would just do whatever they feel like. And Rav Moshe says, well, no, you do what you need to do, and if you can avoid the Shabbos shift, if you don't need to do it, then it's better to avoid it, even if you know instead somebody who's Jewish who's not from is going to take it instead. Again, I apologize, I don't know where it is offhand, but that's definitely, I believe that's definitely a machlokas, which is very, very interesting. I think it's been written about also in an article somewhere. Anyway, so that's that. there is a machlokas about if there's time to have a goy to do it. Again, we're not going to go into this in detail now, but let's say that there's definitely time for a non-Jew to do it, and see the non-Jew's right there, or whatever the case is. There are some posts, including the Ramah, who actually say that it's better to have the goy do it. Meaning, if there's plenty of time, there's no reason why the Jew needs to do it. So the Ramah actually says that it's better for the Jew to do it, for the goy to do it. And many poskim, whatever the case is, okay. And many poskim, including the Shmir Shas Kilchasa, as we just read before, say it doesn't matter. Still, it's better for the Jew to do it, unless the goy happens to be better at it. So I think that again, the reason is because we want to make sure that people realize that it's the Jew who's the Jew's going to do it faster, or to make sure everybody knows that you don't need to get a non-Jew to do it. That's basically what he says. He has some tilt about this in footnote 17. Well, maybe in certain cases it's different if the goy is standing right there, or he's easily available. Maybe you could ask a goy. But then he says, according to the other answer, maybe you shouldn't ask a goy, because again, for next time, even if you ask a goy this time, but next time people are going to think you have to ask a goy. So at the end of the day, he says it's better to ask a Jew. Practically, the reason why this is gets tricky is because the way that it works afterwards is a bit of a question. Meaning the following. Okay, let's take an example of going to the hospital for, let's say, for a birth in Yad Binyamin, for example, or any other place, really. Let's say that you want to say, okay, based on this, we're going to have a Jew do it. Okay, very nice. Great. The Jew will drive to the hospital. Now, the Jew gets to the hospital. What does he do now? He's in his car. What does he do? What does he do now?
The husband leaves the car running and goes in with the wife and hopes the car is there tomorrow.
That's the issue. Okay, right. The issue is, what do you do with the car? Are you allowed to turn off the car? So you'll of course tell me the answer is, of course you can turn off the car. But when you start, I mean, maybe you won't, you already know that's not so simple, but when you start thinking about it, it's not so simple. Why are you allowed to turn off the car? What was the heter to go to the hospital? The heter to go to the hospital?
Life.
Yeah, the same life, or to give the woman to give birth, and whatever the situation is. But once you're at the hospital already, is there still chil shabbos or pikuach nefesh involved? Turn off the car. Turning off the car is clearly a very clear iser, at least derabanan. Maybe even deraisa, but at least derabanan of turning off of at least of mechave. Which again might be derabanan, but definitely derabanan. What's the hat there? So if you can ask a non-Jew to turn off the car for you, so maybe that would be okay. The problem is we've discovered many of the hospitals nearby here, they don't have non-Jews that are working there, easily available to turn off carts. In Shaarei Tzedek and Yerushalayim, they do have non-Jews because it's a halachic hospital, so that they've taken care of this problem. So there, definitely, the Jew can drive, go there.
There's not Arab doctors at all in the hospital?
They're not going to come out of turn off your car for you. Yeah, like, for you. I'll spit in your face, you know? And not because you're Jewish, just because you're asking a silly thing.
Right?
So in Shaarei Tzedek, that's an advantage to our Shaarei Tzedek. I'm not saying that everybody should go there for anything. I'm just saying that's something to think about. It's an advantage. Again, it's farther away, so you have to drive farther to get there. But it happens to be nice if that's where you're going anyway, for whatever reason, that this issue they'll take care of. But when it comes to, you know, anywhere else, it's very difficult. What's the answer? So you can say, and this I've heard from many people, and it's true, and I've seen it in Sfarim also, I don't remember if it's Shaarei Shabbos, but there are Sfarim that say this, that it's dangerous to leave the car running on Shabbos. And anybody, somebody, lock the door, the exhaust, somebody could get in the car, drive the car away, somebody could run somebody over, who knows what could happen, you know, Arab terrorists could get in, and, you know, Chas v'Shalom, but, you know, unfortunately we see what happens, you know, it's true. Yeah, it's sakana. Okay, yeah. If you go to the hospital and you drive to the hospital, the answer, the halacha is that you do not leave the car running. You turn off the car. Better maybe to turn off with a shinoi, which may or may not work. It's a little machlokas about that, which we're not going to get into now. But if you can help it, you know, you could do something about it. So you turn it off with your, not straight with your hand, turning the key off, you turn it with your elbow or something else like that, a little bit different, which at least according to some posts is a little bit better. But again, it's sakana to keep the car running because you never know what can happen. The question is, though, does that mean that, you know, that it's better to get yourself in that situation for the Jew to drive in the first place? So based on that, I think the consensus of Poskim is that if a non-Jew is easily available, meaning not that you're not sure he's going to come and da-da-da-da-da, because of that issue, my impression is that it actually is more recommended to ask a non-Jew, at least in Eretz Yisrael. Certainly in Chutz Laaretz, if it's easily available and you know the ambulance, you call them or whatever it is, but certainly your taxis, you know, but certainly here. For that issue, that because of that reason, that it's not so simple to say that you could just turn off the car. If it was easy to get a non-Jew to do it, and everybody would do it during the weekday, you'd get a non-Jew to do it also, or somebody who was a taxi or whatever, you just get a non-Jew who was doing the same thing. So it seems that would be better. But as we said before, at least in where we come from here at Yad Vashem, it's not so easy to find a non-Jew. Okay, it's complicated to find a non-Jew. You think the guy's not Jewish, really he's Jewish. Okay, he's Russian, he's Jewish, whatever. Okay, the ambulance drivers, you call Magen Dovid Adom or you call a taxi cab from Kiryat Malachi or whatever, they're all Jewish. So at the end of the day, despite everything we just said, the bottom line is that it's probably recommended for you to, if you have to go to the hospital from here, probably recommended to drive yourself. And that's, I think, what most people do anyway. At least from my experience, well, we haven't done it on Shabbos yet, but anyway, everybody else we've discussed it with and, you know, has consulted with us and other rabbis in the community about this issue, I think it's usually accepted that it's fine for you and recommended for you to drive yourself. But you have to just figure out how to turn off the car. It would be nice if you had a non-Jew. If not, you basically go to wherever you can go to nearby and do what you need to do.
So what about, you mentioned about going to Shaarei Tzedek versus going to the post hospital or
right.
Going to Tel Aviv where there may be a better hospital and, you know, Kaplan is adequate, but it's not a top hospital.
Right.
Is there...
Okay, so they discussed this. Okay, we don't have to get into this in detail, but... The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasek somewhere or other, I don't know exactly where it is, but basically, what the conclusion is that number one, any hospital that you want to go to because it's qualitatively better or you think that they'll have better care for what you need, you're definitely allowed to go. Okay, and they say this, by the way, also for a woman who's giving birth. Okay, even if she has a certain reason why she wants to go to this hospital over that hospital and it's 20 minutes farther.
Oh, really?
Whatever the reason is, yeah. Because the idea for women about it, sube datza, the woman's going to feel better. So even if it really, you could say it doesn't really matter, but if she feels strongly, she wants to go one or the other, halakhah, that's good enough to be allowed to do it. And that is mentioned, it's not here. But it's somewhere in Perek Lamed Vav. You don't have to turn to it if you don't want to, but somewhere in Perek Lamed Vav, the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasek basically points that out. He says that that whichever hospital she feels more comfortable going to, she can do that if she wants. Obviously, if there's everything is equal, better to go to the one that's close by because there's less Chil Shabbos involved in terms of the driving. But if for whatever reason, there's a reason to go to a one that's a little farther away, that is generally permissible to do so. And there are reasons why. You know, some hospitals you feel more comfortable and there'll be better care or for a certain department is better, whatever it is. So that's all permissible. What else did I cover all your questions or is there another part that I didn't answer?
I
what you just asked.
Oh, but we want to go to the Shiri Tzedek because it's a better avira for Shabbos, or they have
right.
somebody to turn off your car, or
right.
less medical issues, but more,
right.
I don't know, put your mind at ease.
Right. Okay, good question. It's really a toss-up. In terms of the turning off your car, I don't know if that's a good enough reason to say that you should go farther away than go closer because of it's, you know, at the end of the day, you spend more time being Mechal Shabbos to get there than the last minute where you Mechaber, which is maybe only an Issur Darabanan, which is a very serious Issur Darabanan, but still an Issur Darabanan. Probably.
For a car, it seems even less, no?
It could be. Again, we're not going to go into that now. You know, Mechav in general might be only Drabana unless you actually need the coals for extinguishing, certainly in this case. But whatever it is, you know, it's probably better to go closer by in terms of that. If there are other reasons why you'd feel more comfortable in Shari Tzedek, where the kid will be better, then maybe you could go there. If it's just because it's a nicer Shabbos environment, I think it depends. If you're talking about a woman giving birth, then I think that is a good leniency. Meaning for her, we do allow her to do things that will make her feel better. Because one who's giving birth is, you know, you're afraid that it's going to be very difficult for her. For a regular person who is ill and needs to go for care, if it's something that he would better do, it would be better for his care than, and even if he'll feel better if it's a Shabbos hospital, then maybe I would say yes. But other than that, I would say not necessarily. Okay, I don't think it plays a role if that's not a factor for the person, for the patient himself feeling better and being better for, you know, how he feels. Other than that, I would say you don't have to go there just for that. You go where it's closer by, it's just always better to go where it's closer. But if for that reason it's a toss-up, meaning if there's, you know, it's equal in either way, and there's other reasons why the one closer by is not as good for quality or for care or whatever, you're not sure. Sorry, that could, yeah, I guess maybe you could take that into account as well. What are you saying?
He's the ambulance driver. What if people are calling him up and for like not good reasons to take him on Shabbos? Is he at fault? Like, oh, I need to go to the, you know, first of all, he has to pick up his phone or whatever
right.
it may be.
Right.
Is that...
He's got to do what he has to do. I mean, right. Assuming that you're talking with people that are from,
yeah.
they have to assume that any case that they're getting is going to be potential sakanas nefashos, in which case they got to take it. They got to take it. Yeah. I'm assuming.
They can't make a judgment call.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know the rules for Magid David Adom or for anybody right. else, or Hatzal or whatever, but I'm assuming they can, mm. you know.
But the husband says, I just thought it'd be better that you drive me than I do because you're driving on Shabbos anyhow.
You being the ambulance driver or... So that's a good question. Again, unfortunately, we're running out of time here.
It's okay.
To try to finish up next week.
Question.
What's the question?
The husband says, well, you drive anyhow. You should take me. Ari L. Kotler,
right.
I don't like to drive on Shabbos. You're driving on Shabbos anyhow.
Right.
For Itzala, you should take me so I don't have to drive.
So this is a big discussion. So Ari L. Kotler told me, and I think he felt that based on Piskei Halacha, he heard from Rabbanim Yerushalayim, that was better. That it's better for the ambulance to go because the ambulance is supposed to go anyway, and he's got the thing, and da-da-da-da-da-da.
Okay.
However, if you ask me, Lonias Dati, I think that in our situation, and I think I discussed this with Orlin also, and I think he also agreed with this. I think he also felt the same way. I'm trying to remember now if we actually had this discussion or it was in my mind. But I think we did discuss that at one point. And I think we were on the same wavelength on this one. But the problem was like this. I think what Ariel was talking about, again, you have to speak to him because maybe I'm getting it wrong. I might be completely misquoting him. From what I remember, we had this machlokas about it. I think it was Mark Kudron. I think he was going to give birth. I think this is when this came up because he had spoken to Ariel and they spoke to me and we spoke, whatever. So this issue came out because his wife, I think they had discussed possibly going with Ariel at the time or whoever had the ambulance, who was his neighbor maybe. The issue was like this. The Sakhalak in Yerushalayim is different because in Yerushalayim, most people are not going to drive to the hospital. If they don't go in the ambulance, they're going to take a cab. So the cab driver may or may not be Jewish. But there are ways to get non-Jewish cab drivers in Yerushalayim. So if the choice is between a Jewish ambulance driver and a non-Jewish cab driver, so that already, I think a lot of our rabbis said take the ambulance.
Why?
But here, what?
Why?
Because the ambulance has a heter to do what it needs to do.
But a non-Jewish cab, wouldn't that be...
Maybe better, but I think that they were concerned that maybe the non-Jewish cab wouldn't come on time, maybe it would delay, maybe they're not trustworthy, you know, all sorts of things like that. I think that was the consideration. Again, you have to ask Ariel again. I'm not sure, but I think that was the consideration. Around here, where the ambulance is reliable for sure, but the problem is, once the ambulance takes you, what's the ambulance going to do afterwards? Where's it going to go? It's not going to stay in the hospital all Shabbos. Where's it going? It's coming right back here, right? Is it mutter? Yeah, maybe it's mutter because somebody else needs to be, you know, but do you need to do that? If the husband can just drive himself, and the only halachic issue is turning off the car afterwards, which again is an issue, but at the end of the day, it's only maybe an Issur Darabanan versus the ambulance coming all the way back here. So I think that we felt that it was halachically definitely preferable, if possible, meaning if the husband is comfortable and it works out, for the husband to drive and leave the car and stay in the hospital.
Cannot bother the ambulance driver.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we felt. Now, again, if there's any concern, maybe you think that she's going to go into labor really fast and the baby might be born along the way, or the husband's not comfortable, or who knows what, anything like that, for sure, get the ambulance. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying if it's totally equal, and the husband was totally happy to drive, and the ambulance driver was happy to drive, in our community, or community similar to our community, as opposed to Yerushalayim, where you don't know where you're getting your taxi driver from, or who's going to drive instead. So around here, I think, I guess in Yerushalayim also, if you had a Jewish, if the guy has a car and he wants to drive himself, so I think that there might be room to say that that it's better for you to go. That's what we felt, from what I remember. But again, I cannot say that's the only opinion on the subject. I'm sure there might be others that would disagree. But I think I think it made sense in this situation. Why should you cause the ambulance to mechal shalos more than is necessary if you're happy to go yourself? And again, if you would go during the week, if during the week you'd be too scared to go for whatever reason, what I said, you might give birth, or there's also complications of the pregnancy, whatever it might be, for sure go for the ambulance. But if it's during the week you would drive, and it's only because it's Shabbos, you have a question, and you can take care of your kids or whatever, so then you might as well, whatever the issue is, you might as well go drive there yourself. Okay. All right, I think we're going to have to stop here. If you want to just do the last point here about Goyim, which again, in Eretz Yisrael is not as relevant, but it's a really serious issue. We'll just mention it in like 2 minutes. Basically, the halacha from the Gemara is clear that the Heter B'Michal Shabbos applies to people that keep Shabbos, which are basically Jews. And not for non-Jews. It's also clear from the Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Chavav and from the Mishnah and Maseches Yoma that you can mechal Shabbos for a Jew, but for a non-Jew you cannot be mechal Shabbos. That, of course, creates a lot of problems. Okay, if you don't know where it's in the Shulchan Aruch, I'm not going to read it inside out, but just so you know where it is. It's in Siman Shin Lamed, Sid Bet, where they talk about being mechal Shabbos for a non-Jewish mother who's giving birth. And it says you're not allowed to mechal Shabbos for her. Again, the reason why is from the Gemara Avodah Zarah. Well, you can tell her, well, we only are Mechal Shabbos for people that actually keep Shabbos, and not for you. Question is, and by the way, based on that, the Mishnah Berurah has a really long thing in Sif Katan Chet over there, where it basically says that there's a lot of doctors that are not careful about this. Even they're good doctors, but Einam Nitzharim is a clout. They don't keep this at all. He says every Shabbos they go and they travel a lot, many kilometers to cure a non-Jew. They do all sorts of Yisur Daraisa. And he says that it's Nisr Daraisa, maybe Nisr Darabban, you can make up for Mishum Eva, because we don't want them to hate us, or whatever. He's Nisr Daraisa, for sure, is also according to everybody. U'machal Shabbos gemur mehem v'mezer, a complete machal Shabbos, Hashem Yishmeren, Hashem should protect them. Wow. What do you do with this one? And in today's world, if you do that, you're in big trouble, right? If you are not machal Shabbos for a goy, and you're a doctor that's qualified, and you're supposed to, you're on call, whatever it is, you're in big trouble. So, again, without going into all the details here, there are some kulas. Chasim Sofer and maybe some others. Rav Moshe also has a tshuva about this, Chelek Dalet and Orach Chaim, and then actually he has two tshuvas, one Chelek Hay as well. We basically say it's Mutar Mishum Eva. How is that? Usually Eva is only a heter for an Isra Darabana, not for an Isra Daraisa. So for you to drive to the hospital to save a non-Jew, or any Isra Daraisa, still should be a question. And basically, what some of them argue is that it is Sakana, because, especially today when, information travels, in a second across the world. If people hear that a Jewish doctor refused to treat a non-Jewish patient, you know what's going to happen next. Who knows what's going to happen next?
The news.
Yeah, it's all over the place. There's pogroms. There'll be Arabs, that are going to protest and kill, shoot other Jews, or who knows where. Yeah, forget Arabs. That's not the Arabs. Because some other person is anti-Semitic. So Moshe basically says it's sakana. If the goyim hear about it, it's sakana for us. So at the end of the day, halacha l'maaseh, what's usually accepted is that it's mutter. However, the Shmir Shas Kilchasa says, and this is in Perek Mem, Halacha Yud Zayin, Shmir Shas Kilchasa, basically what he says, if you want to look at it inside, he's basically, if it's an Isra Daraisa, if it's an Isra Darabanan, you can be Mekil, based on what we said, Eva. He says, for an Isra Daraisa, Tov Yaseh, it's good to do the following, Yivakesh Mi Ba'od Yom, ask before Shabbat starts, Hora'od Lefura Tot, specific instructions, Mechacham HaMakib Yilchot Shabbat. Ask a Rav who's qualified, and there's a Chacham and a Baki in Hilchot Shabbos, to give you a Pesach Halacha. Meaning, he basically wants to say it's not so simple that it's mutter, but the Rav will decide what's Daraisa, what's Darbana. Maybe he'll find a way to be making a wife for Moshe. And I think he mentioned Moshe in the Kulas here as well. In the footnote, sorry. Yeah, he mentioned Moshe in the footnote in passing. Our Shlomo Zalman Orbach also mentions this idea that Ben Rega Mikteachal Shalom L'Sheni, you can send a message from one, within a second from one side of the world to the other side of the world. If you don't treat the non-Jew, we're in big trouble. So, well, again, the minhag is to be making about this, but if there's any way to get out of it, it's probably preferably avoided if it's easy to get out of it. But if not, then basically, then people are make it unnecessary. So that's in 2 minutes or less. That's the story with non-Jews. Any other questions before we just finish up with a little Divrei Machshava? Again, there's so many other halachos you could talk about when it comes to Mechal Shabbos. But I think we covered some of the basic points here. Okay. Let's finish up here. Nice idea from the Nesivos Shalom. This is from Parshas Vayakel. Basically, the Nesivos Shalom discusses the following. He says, I don't know if any of you actually know the Lev's Shalom Zachar. So I mentioned this in brief over there. He says here the following. He quotes a Gemara. I'm not giving you the whole background. He basically quotes the Gemara, who says that somebody who keeps Shabbos properly, this actually is a good example of if we're learning about Chil Shabbos this week, but anybody who keeps Shabbos properly, and by the way, somebody who's supposed to Mechal Shabbos for life-threatening danger would be included as well. They say, even if you were Ovid Avodah Zarah, like the door of Enosh, if you remember, in between Adam Arisha and Noach, it says, according to the Midrashim, that they were worshipping idols, worshipping the sun and the moon and stuff like that. Even if you were in that generation worshipping idols, if you keep Shabbos properly, then they forgive you. Because the Koach of Shabbos basically is able to rectify a chait, even of Avodah Zarah, even from a terrible Avodah Zarah from that door. Why? Because Shabbat, Koach of Shabbat, mitahara yehudim b'chol ha'atzavim. Okay, because the strength of Shabbos is able to purify a Jew in any situation. So, basically, the Nesivos Shalom says that. I don't really understand that. It doesn't really make sense. Because, he says, again, that by itself is an amazing idea. Okay, that the Shabbos can be mitahara from the sin. But he basically says, I don't understand it. Okay, because Shabbos is a source of purity and love and dveikus b'Hashem, and if you've already stumbled and already committed the sin, then how could you get to the highest levels of, you know, loving Shabbos and being Shabbos Kalacha? He quotes from the Zmiros of Kla Echsof, talking about Nafshi Cholos HaBasecha, which we have to say in Din Nefesh. You know, this love of Hashem, how could you get to that level if you're sunken in sin, he says. So, how can you, if you've sinned in a terrible way, how can you get to that high madriga of Shabbat Kil Chatzam? He says, you know what the answer is? He says, the answer is that's true if you're an individual. But if you have a group of people together, which are united as one, okay, they can get to that level of purity on Shabbos. And he quotes Jews miskantim from Medrash, Mashi Yehudim miskantim Yoshim Shabbos Achen Gam Yachad. The Jews get together on Shabbos and sit together. Shabbos Achen Gam Yachad. Achdus Halavavos, unity of the souls of the hearts. That's considered to be the height of Shabbos, and that's what we said that Shabbos every day of the week has a partner, and Shabbos is in a partner. And the Medrash basically saying that the B'nai Yisrael is Shabbos' partner, and the Yisrael says what that means is that Kolach HaShabbos, but Sirufim Kolach HaRabim, the Kolach of Shabbos together with the power of the people, of the community, is Mesugal Livot HaYudim Kol HaMatzavim. You can redeem yourself or be tired yourself from any situation, even from a terrible plate of Avodah Zarah or anything else like that, with the power of people together. And as he goes through, you know, more additional points about this idea, that if you get together as a Chabura of people on Shabbos, and experience Shabbos, you know, as one, so you can even you can get out of many, many types of things. He's also, he quotes from Karach Sof again. We're not going to go into it now. From that Zemer, where he has this idea also of trying to show that it's, if you do it together with the groups of people. So he says here, that's why in Parshas Vayakel, why it says that Moshe had to gather all the people together at the beginning of the parsha, and then the first thing they talk about is Shabbos. Why is that? Because the idea of Achdus, of people together on Shabbos, is very, very, very powerful. And he says, as I mentioned also, I think at the Lev's thing, he quotes also from earlier Rabban, it's from Shlom, that the greatness of the idea of people sitting together on Shabbos. So he says, Shitzar Mesiros Nefesh, Pichlei L'Sheves Yachadim Yehudim Lil Shabbos. It takes Mesiros Nefesh to sit together with other Jews on Friday night. Again, he's talking about going to the Tish with the Rebbe on Friday night. I guess maybe they struggled. I don't know, maybe people didn't come. They were too tired. They fell asleep, you know, or whatever. I don't know. So I said the last thing, there was tons of, you know, it's nice. If you get the right place, then it's beautiful. The Noam Elimelech also says that Legabe HaYeshivet Seftai Megudim B'Sudash Lishi. He says this idea of Shal Shudas together with other people. Inyan HaGadol Mo'od is a great thing, which again, today, here in our communities, we often don't do that. In Chutzlars, it's more accepted. Here, it's so we do it with our family. But you can say that also. It doesn't have to be with other people from your neighbors. It could be from your family also. Your family gets together and eats a shal shudas. He says it's a very, very high thing. And we say, even though it's not mentioned explicitly in Chazal, still, this is one of the highest of the high. And that's what why Moshe gathered together the people. So, whatever form we have, the point is that Shabbos is very powerful. If you keep Shabbos right with the proper type of love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can really be tired yourself and get kapara for a lot of sins, but sometimes for the very severe sins, again, for regular sins, you know, maybe you could do it just on your own. A lot of love for Shabbos and really the emotions are there, you can really get kapara. For the big sins, like avodah zarah, maybe other terrible sins that you might have done, so you have to get together with people. Okay, it's the achdus of people together on Shabbos, let's say in shul, or you know, meals, or a tish Friday night, whatever it is. Find yourself the opportunity to get together, and if you feel Shabbos together with a group of people, so you can get to very, very high levels. So you resolution should all get to the high levels, both individually and also with other people, and Bezer Hashem, hopefully one of us will host a nice community event sometime soon to get us to this high level. All right. Sure.